Okay, so we're talking to Jill here, and what's your position?
I'm the founder of Central Alberta Quidditch, which is based out of Red Deer, and I'm also a conventions coordinator with the International Quidditch Association.
Wonderful. So we're here at the Harry Potter Alliance fundraiser here today in Kinsman Park. And I'm talking to Jill. And noticed that there was a few differences between the Quidditch we hear of in the Harry Potter books and movies versus the Quidditch that's been played here today.
Definitely. There are a few differences. The main difference is that a snitch is only worth 30 points instead of 150. And the other big difference that most people notice right off the bat is, of course, we don't technically fly.
That would be a little difficult, I would think.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at what you can find. At the World Cup this past year in Florida, there was a guy from the Paris Phoenix who flew through one of the hoops with the ball and scored a point that way on his broom the whole time. So, you know, we're getting there, but we're just not quite there yet.
How would he fly? That's
he just jumped really, really well.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Run really fast, jump really high, stay up for as long as you can.
Wow, that's something, all right. So, yeah, they don't fly, Now, how about game length? Is that different?
The game length is still determined by the snitch catch. So the snitch is only worth 30 points, but does still end the game. There are no timeouts. There's no halftime. There's no breaks at all. You just keep playing until that snitch is caught. There can be a seeker floor so that the snitch will last for a little bit longer. That means that the snitch takes off. And they can run around and hide for about 10 minutes, usually, before the seekers can come out and try and look for him.
Wow.
And snitches are crazy. They can do the most insane things. They tend to do spectacles to start a game. So they'll throw water bombs on the seekers before they take off. Everyone starts the game with their heads down, brooms down, eyes closed. So that's the time for the snitches to go wild. And they entertain the crowd and do all sorts of tricks. They'll ride unicycles, they'll get into vehicles and drive away for 10 minutes and come back later. One snitch, at one time he texted...
Do you guys want another one?
I think we're good.
Yeah?
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah. One snitch, he took off and went into somebody's house and texted a picture of himself making sandwiches to the seekers.
Oh, wow.
Just to tease them about how much he was able to do without them catching him. So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is amazing. And the floor is the time that's allowed for them to do these little things.
Yeah.
And it should be pointed out that the snitches are not little balls as they are in the movies.
Oh, yes,
they're not winged balls. They're actually people.
Yeah.
And you were saying that they typically have like a tennis ball that's in a sock, and the sock portion sticks out of the pocket.
Yes, yeah, they stick out the back, and that's the snitch itself, and then the person is the snitch runner.
So they're all over the place trying not to be caught.
They run and run and run. They're not allowed to substitute, so unless they get injured.
Yeah.
So they will eventually get tired, whereas the seekers can substitute, so that helps a little bit. But
for sure.
Yeah.
And we're talking a little bit about hoops as well. They're pretty much the same format as they might be in the books. How low? Not nearly as high.
Yes, definitely not. There's still three different heights.
Yep.
The width of the hoop itself can vary from, I think, about 28 inches to 42 inches. The hoops that we're playing with here are a little bit smaller than I'm used to in Red Deer, but they're still perfectly good size.
Yep.
You score on the hoops with the quaffle, which is a squished-up volleyball, and you can score from either side, the front or the back.
Mm.
And each point is still worth 10 points, so
wow.
it's a good way to keep the game close and exciting.
And that ball is the... I've forgotten what that one is.
That's
throw it.
The quaffle.
Quaffle.
Yeah.
And there's also dodgeballs that work as quaffles as well.
So no, the dodgeballs work as bludgers.
Bludgers. So okay, and there's three of them, yeah? As opposed to just the two.
Exactly,
sorry, I got my confusion mixed up there.
Yeah, no, that's...
So you got the quaffle that's just a squished up volleyball, and then there's three dodgeballs that pose as beaters.
Yeah.
Or bludgers, rather.
Yeah, the beaters
leaders
throw.
Are trying to avoid those things hitting anybody.
Yeah, we
except
added in
don't.
The extra beater, or the extra bludger, because that way, well, you'll still have beater control on a team, because they can have two, or bludger control, because they have two beaters with the bludgers. They also, you'll still have at least one on the other team. Otherwise, if you just have two bludgers and you have two beaters with them on the one team, then the other team has no hope of getting them back, or very little hope at least.
Right.
So, yeah, that third bludger helps that out.
Yeah. Now, who came up with the real Quidditch, as it were?
Yeah. Yeah, Muggle Quidditch, essentially, or real-life Quidditch, was invented at Middlebury College around 2005, and it was invented by a group of college students who, they all loved Harry Potter, and they were all sitting around bored one day. They usually played bocce, and they just didn't feel like playing bocce that day, so they thought, well, why don't we play Quidditch? And so they tried a couple of experiments with different rules and different setups, and this is what grew out of those rules, so... there's been a World Cup held, I think, since 2006, every year, approximately. And it was originally held at Middlebury College, which is based around the Boston area, I believe, somewhere in the East Coast there. And they invited their friends and their friends' friends, and eventually it grew up so that there's about 500 teams in the States, most of which are college teams, and another, or 400 to 500 in the States, and another 300 to 400 around the world. So some of which are college teams and some of which are community teams.
Wow.
Wow. Just going to double check my timing here.
I'm going to eat some.
Which I can't see. Darn it, this thing's gone.
You're fine.
Okay, it's working. So how long have you personally been involved in the Quidditch?
I played Quidditch first when I went to a convention called LeakyCon in Florida a couple of years ago. It's crazy hot and crazy humid down there, but I played anyway despite my wool sweater and everything. And it was just a lot of fun. So I've been following it since then. I went to another convention in Florida, got to play a little bit more, and started up my team just a couple months ago in Red Deer. So the other thing that happened is myself, a group from the University of Calgary Quidditch team, and the Harry Potter Alliance group here in Edmonton called Edmonton Potter Watch, we worked together to put on a panel and Quidditch demonstrations at Calgary Expo last spring. So
nice.
At the big 70,000 person comic book festival, and it went over really well. So we're looking forward to working more with both the Edmonton team and the Calgary team and getting more of these things happening.
Nice.
Yeah, it'd be cool to get it into Edmonton Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on that. We do have a panel coming up on the Sunday of Edmonton Expo at noon.
Nice.
So we will definitely be doing that, and it's a joint panel again with the Edmonton Potter Watch, where we'll talk about how to start a Quidditch team, answer any questions that people might have, and also talk about how to start a... campaign around a charity. So, like, if you have a charitable issue, how would you start a campaign? Which is
nice.
Great for Quidditch, because essentially, I mean, we're not a charity, we're a sport, but we need campaigns too, just to draw people in. So
good
it works
idea.
Out really well for us. And
awesome.
If we're lucky, then we'll be able to do Quidditch demos there too, but we haven't heard for sure yet. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all.
Okay, well, it's a really fun sport. I'd encourage anyone to come out and try it out. We can always modify rules and play with variations as well. So it's a sport that really can be for everybody.
There's
at the high levels, it's very, very athletic. But I bet you we come up with all sorts of variations just to get everyone in.
That'd be neat. Adaptation of Quidditch for the blind. There's a big challenge.
I bet you we could do it, though, because the Australians invented wheelchair Quidditch already.
Oh, wow.
So
okay. So
I bet you we could figure
thing.
Out something. Is it handball? Is that the game? With
goal ball.
Goal ball, yes.
Yeah.
I bet you we could use a variation of goal ball.
You know
and
you probably could.
And figure something out there. So that's, yeah.
Something to work with.
I think the bludgers would be the most, like, wild card part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is somebody who wants to do it, and we could be there to help that happen. And it's possible somebody's already working on it somewhere. Like I said, those Australians, they come up with the craziest variations on everything. So.
Well, you never know, because Audioboo goes all over the world, including the United Kingdom. And there's quite a few blind people there that love Harry Potter, so.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it really can be a sport for everybody.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Everybody.
Wow, nice.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Jill.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm glad. I hope this time it works. Yeah, it's still counting down. Got 22 seconds left. Yes.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank
everybody.
You. Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was Hi-Fi George and me, Blue Sounds, talking with Jill. So I hope you enjoyed it.
I didn't see that one. I saw the other one. It's adorable. But...